You know what my wife said to me today when we were out?
I wish you were more like Alan.
No, but that would have been funny. No, she said, I'm really tired. I can't wait till we go home and you podcast because within 3 seconds I will be asleep. And then she said, tell Al that. Your podcast puts me to sleep.
But she can't hear my voice.
I called it a sweet lullaby.
Oh, yeah. Then she called it a sweet lullaby.
Yeah. She cannot hear my end of the conversation, though. Otherwise, she'd be on the edge of the bed just listening intently.
Yeah. Yeah.
She'd What's never... he going to say next? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 151 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
No longer face-to-face, buddy. Now we're back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Much less awkward this way.
Yeah, much less. It is way better.
Yeah.
Because now, even though I did the last show in my underpants, I don't feel as guilty now.
I'm still in my underpants.
No, I am still, but last week I was too. But it was weird, two grown men sitting in their underpants in your living room.
Yeah.
Plus your wife had guests. So that was weird.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Adam?
Not much. I think a little more than last time I saw you. I've gone through a whole week. That's pretty much what's changed.
Oh, so it's you last week plus 1 week.
Yes. I'm 1 week older. My wife had a birthday this week. That's, I guess, what's new and exciting.
Oh, yeah. I sent her a video.
You did?
We did, yeah. Well, from my daughter.
I didn't see it. She didn't mention it.
Didn't she mention it? Did my daughter send a video to her?
I will ask her. Did Emily send a video to you? I think she's already asleep. I told you, 3 seconds and she falls asleep.
There you go.
Yeah, she's not answering. She's 3 feet away from me and she can't hear her. I'm talking loud, right?
Let's shave her eyebrows live on the air. Do you want to?
No, I'll just marker her forehead.
That would be awesome if you shaped them and then markered them back in.
Once upon a time, I was a pretty good artist. I'm pretty sure I could just draw a big two hosers on her face.
That would be mildly amusing. But if she wakes up with felt pen eyebrows, I gotta tell you, that would be an awesome wake up.
Yeah.
For you. Although the anticipation the whole night of, oh my God, this is going to be awesome. I would not sleep a wink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do it.
Okay. I'll do it. I'll send you a picture.
So I'm back. I'm back in Tübingen. Quick little, pop in and out to, Vancouver.
Yeah.
Jet lag over with, by the way.
Wow. Just that quick. How long does it take? A day?
Used to take me 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Now it's about a day, and I gotta tell you, it's not me. I'm not remarkable. I mean, mm-hmm. I am remarkable, but other things. I'm gonna give you a little hint right now for the jet laggers out there.
Okay. I'm waiting.
Melatonin supplements.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Love it. I don't know if it's legal in every country. I mean, I had to buy mine from a guy in the back alley.
Mm-hmm.
No, I bought it from the drugstore over the counter, but it's awesome. Helps you get back on track immediately.
Okay, so
because some people
You heard it here from the pharmacist Al.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you heard it everywhere else too. I'm not the first one to invent this.
Okay,
I'm late to this party, but I do recommend it. It's they're not sleeping pills. A lot of people, not a lot of people, but enough people I know take sleeping pills on the plane when you're taking like a long haul, like the flight from Frankfurt to Vancouver is like 10 hours.
Yeah.
10 to Vancouver and I think 9 back. I have to take a shortcut evidently or something. But, and so people take a sleeping pill and that's, forget it. You're a mess. Don't do it. Don't do it. Melatonin when you arrive.
I won't do it.
There you go.
All right.
So we went ice skating last week.
Yeah.
You and I and a couple other families. That was fun. It's the first time I've been on skates in, I don't know, like probably 5 years, maybe.
How'd you feel?
My skates, I felt fine. It took me one lap to remember how to do it. But my skates did not feel like slippers, that's for sure. Have you done that where you haven't been in your skates for quite some time and then you put them on and like, oh my God, these aren't mine?
No, I haven't gone ever that long. Probably a year is the longest gap from skating.
Oh, see, it happens to me over summer. Like in the summer, you wear flip-flops and then put the skates back on and it's like the first day is kind of a wake-up call.
I see.
But no, the point of the skating, it does tie into the photo show.
Yes.
Aspect. Is it was you know, I was meeting your family because I was in Vancouver alone, by the way. I mean, not completely alone, but what I'm saying is my family was stayed back here.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, they would have come as well. But so I met you and the family, and then two other families that are friends of ours, and both of those families have hobbyist photographers in them.
Right. Not including myself.
Not including yourself. Two of the other families. No, you've taken money to do this now. It's no longer a hobby.
Okay.
Yeah. And so anyway, so I said to them, listen, and for me, I'd already taken a lot of photos that week back in Germany. I knew when I landed in Vancouver, all I had to do was work and use my camera. It was mostly video, but still almost the same thing. So I didn't feel like going on my little R&R and taking photos.
Right.
But what I did say to them, both those other families, I said, listen, you're coming skating, bring your camera. And not even just bring your camera. I specifically told them what lens to bring. You're bringing your kids. Each of them are bringing their kids. Bring this camera body that they have. Bring the prime lens. One of them had a 50 mil. One of them had the 35 mil. Bring those lenses. And you'll get a few free photo tips from Adam and myself. And we'll all get good photos. That's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guess how many people brought their cameras?
I really get to guess?
No, because you were there.
Right. Zero.
Yeah. We went 0-for on that one.
Yeah.
I don't get that. So all of a sudden, it was like we went from getting free photo tips to having no photos whatsoever.
I think, you know, there's probably a little bit of an intimidation factor there.
I agree.
I think that's really what it's about. I think that, you know, if I go back in time to myself, you know, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and that same offer was put to me, I think, you know, with my family going skating, I'd probably be a little bit intimidated and myself accidentally forget my camera at home too.
Right.
Accidentally on purpose, I mean.
Okay, but if you were going to go public skating and mm-hmm. Trevor Linden said, hey, bring your stick, we'll do a little shinny, would you forget your stick?
No.
No, you
different, different though. Different. You're not Trevor Linden.
No, I shoot left. Right.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that, you know, you're already friends with these people and it's different. If they didn't know you and you were going to give them photography advice, then it might be a different story. But I think there's a little bit of, you know, it's like taking advice on something like that from your friend. It's a little tougher to take, I think. Again, that's just my opinion. As opposed to if you're a complete stranger like Trevor Linden, we'd happily take your photography advice or hockey advice.
Oh, he and I are pals.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time he walked, I stopped at a red light and he walked across in front of my car. So ever since then, we're pals.
And you honked right when he got in front of your car.
Exactly.
Spilled his coffee.
He did. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. And most of the listeners are thinking, yeah, Trevor Linden, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
No idea who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right about the intimidation, but how do we fix that? Because my instinct is to say, hey, quit being such a wuss and bring your camera, get over it. But
yeah, I think it's on you. I think it's on you. I think you need to be more approachable and less of a jerk.
Yeah, okay,
that's never going to happen. Yeah.
We're going to call that plan B. However, in the meantime, no, I do want to figure out how to be more approachable because I have given these people photo tips before. I mean, I've gone out. We've actually had a photo walk with one of them. We can just say her name. You're not going to Google Nicole. So Nick and I have gone out for a photo walk before with film even. Mm-hmm. And so she does want to learn, but I guess you're right that people get intimidated, but I was kind of hoping to get some cool photos out of it, which we ended up getting a photo that your wife snapped with the iPhone.
Well, I notice, I mean, again, I think we've spoken about this before, but you know, a lot of your friends, when you're going to be somewhere where they are, they don't bring their cameras. There's an assumption that you're going to bring your camera. And I know in this instance, you specifically went mm-hmm. out of your way to say that wasn't going to happen. But I think part of the reason they leave their cameras behind is so that the pressure's off them, right? Like not just that, oh, hey, I will take the photos and they'll be better. It's the fact that, yeah, they don't want to, you know, feel like they're doing it wrong or, you know, I mean, any of those intimidation factors that are going to happen. Like I found at first learning, and I think for most people who are really interested, you get over it at a certain point because you really want to get better. Mm-hmm. But if you're sort of on the fence about that and really don't care that much, that hurdle of sort of that intimidation is enough to just say, I'll learn it on my own or another time.
Another time. That's right.
Yeah.
But what if I was a better dad than them? Would they just let their kids play in the street?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. But you bring up an interesting point, though. There is a way to learn and a way to teach. And perhaps we got to do a show about that, about how to learn, how to teach.
Okay. So,
not today, though. I'm not doing that today.
No, that'd be way too helpful.
Another time.
Yeah. we'll leave that for another day.
Customer service. I want to have a quick note about that. We'll talk about that later in the show. Mm-hmm. However, I had a bad experience. That'll come up later in the show. So stay tuned for epic rant. Not even epic. It's just a rant. Just me being rattled. However, okay. I had a good customer service experience that I should lead with.
Okay, let's have that.
Flying here. You know, I have a laundry list of things that I complain about when I fly. And ultimately, I don't really have too many complaints about flying because when you look at it, like when we were landing on this trip home just now, our trip to Tubing, I can't say home anymore because they're both home, but trip back to Germany, all the seats have the in-flight or the in-seat entertainment units, right? So you can basically dial up any movie that they have on demand. A vast number of people on the flight were watching Grown Ups 2, which I found upsetting. However, the kid next to me, across the aisle, I don't know, a young guy, like 20 probably, we're about to land, we're coming in for landing, and they shut the movies off for landing, takeoff and landing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they interrupt the movie, they pause it to make an announcement, and then it plays again. And then they pause. Then 2 minutes later, they pause it again for landing. And he just went, super rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you just flew from Vancouver to Germany in 8.5 hours. Whereas before, you have to take the train to the boat. I don't know how long the boat took, 6 to 8 months to get across the Atlantic, I suppose. And then take the train. How long did the train take to get across Canada? 6 days?
I don't know.
I have no idea back in the day. So you just took a 4-month trip and condensed it into 8.5 hours and you couldn't watch the end of Grown Ups 2. Life is tough. Life's that's a difficult situation. So I honestly don't like to complain too much about that's not true. I like to complain about flying because it's funny, but ultimately it's not. Anyways, go to get on the flight and you know, people had given me presents to give to my kid and all that stuff. And so my bag, I could tell it was going to be heavy. And now the restrictions are pretty tight. You get 23 kilos, the end, on your one check-in bag. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. It's been a while since you've flown. Pretty much every airline allows you one check-in bag at a max 23 kilos in coach.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
You do not go over that, or it gets wickedly expensive.
Okay.
And I understand it too. I have no problem with that. But normally I have like a little hand luggage scale that I bought for $5. Best investment you can make. Hand luggage scale, or the luggage scale, and melatonin, and you're ready to fly.
Okay.
So anyways, I didn't bother bringing it because I thought there's no way I'm going to go over such a short trip. Everyone gave me presents, blah, blah, blah. Go to the airport. I know my bag's heavy. I can feel it. So I put it up there, 26 kilos.
Mm.
So I'm like, honestly, 26 point something, 26.8 or something like that.
You're way over.
I'm way over. Like, there's no way that they're like, and I thought, oh no. No carry-on though. Like, I don't have any carry-on besides my camera or laptop. Because you're allowed a carry-on bag and a laptop camera bag.
Okay.
But she looked at me and just saw that I had no carry-on. And she just went, you know what? Don't worry about it this time. Try to pay attention to it next time. The end. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
That never happens.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I was thrilled because, you know, my flight was in an hour. Because I like to cut it close now. I don't like to be there 3 hours before. And so, Right. Yeah, so I was cutting it close. Nothing I could have done. I mean, ultimately, what I could have done was taken I had an extra bag in the suitcase I could have taken out, filled it with a bunch of stuff, and carried it on.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's going on the same flight. It's all the same weight. It's not like I'm not, you know, bringing helium on board.
Right. No, I got you.
So, ultimately, she made the call to, hey, don't worry about it, but pay attention next time. So, Lufthansa, good for you.
Great.
Thank you. So one last piece of business before we move on to the fun stuff.
Okay.
I got a new camera strap.
You did?
I did. I got a new camera strap. Got the, which one did I get?
You got the Carry Speed F something.
How do you know?
I don't know. I bought it for you.
That's right. That was a setup, man. Adam bought me a new strap for my birthday.
Yeah, that was the big present.
It was. I think it's the only present I got.
Wow, your friends don't care about you.
Nor does my wife. No, she made me a cake, but no, my wife bought me nothing. I'm not even joking when I say that. I think you're the only person who bought me something.
Wow, well, it's one of those things that, you know, adults and buying presents for other adults, it's not really a thing, I don't think, for birthdays.
I agree.
But that really was not so much about birthday, but the fact that I hadn't seen you in a long time. And, you know, I feel like I get overall a lot of good camera advice and certainly just technical advice. So that's just kind of like a general thank you. I was not going to ship it to Germany. It probably would have cost about three times as much as the strap is worth. So yeah, it was just, you know, just one of those things.
I much, much appreciated before we get mushy. And
yeah, you should be crying right now.
I have a little bit teary eyed.
Yeah.
And now I can retire the skate lace I was using for my camera strap.
Yeah, no, it was one of those things that I really enjoy having. So I thought, hey, it's the sort of thing that, you know, you think that, oh, you know, do I really need that? And it's one of those things that's hard to buy for yourself because you think, oh, it's not like something that you absolutely is a must to have. But once you do have one, you kind of appreciate it. So I figured it wasn't going to weigh very much, so it'd be easy to take back.
Yes, well, plus I have unlimited luggage apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine with the weight over at Lufthansa.
Yeah. But, so how are you liking it? Have you gotten to use it a little bit?
A tiny bit. I haven't had much chance, but so far, yeah, it took a little getting used to because it's a little different concept. But so far, so good. So I tried it with the plate, excuse me, and then I tried it without because you can wind that peg directly into the bottom of the camera. Because I tried that for the lightweight way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I've used both, and it's basically the same concept.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, I mean, I have the Black Rapid Curve strap, which I really like. And when you were over at my place and you had it on and you said, oh, you know, I usually have the camera strap on the other shoulder. So you have the camera generally hang at your left hip. And that Black Rapid strap is meant to be worn over your left shoulder. It's actually curved in that direction so that the camera is meant to lie at your right hip. So once you said that, I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm not getting them that strap. And I went looking for one that was meant to be worn on the other side. And the Carry Speed was the one that was recommended. I read some reviews on it, and that's where why I decided on that particular strap. So,
and since then, I've actually started wearing it on the right hip.
Oh, that's funny. Should have got you the curve. Yeah.
No. But this is the Carry Speed goes on both sides.
Okay. I think that there's kind of like a quick sort of ripcord. And again, according to the sales guy, he said that it was meant to be for easy access to that ripcord, which I guess shortens the length that the camera is going to, like if you want it extended so you have more wiggle room as far as slack on the strap goes, when you want to, you know, walk for any distance and you want to pull it tight on your hip, then it's easier to pull that strap if the camera was going to be on your left.
And unless I'm doing it wrong, you can wear on either side with that pull, the quick strap on the front, no matter what.
Okay, well, maybe the salesperson had no idea then. So
could be. It so far that's what I've been doing and making sure to keep that strap forward, and everything's working out fine so far.
All right. Well, so, you can write the review then.
I'm not going to. Like I'm saying, it seems to work for me. I'll have to go check. I'll have to go stare at myself in the mirror with it a bit more.
The biggest thing I notice with those straps, and I think this would probably apply to pretty much any half decent camera strap, is just way more comfortable for wearing for an extended length of time. So I think from the standpoint, for someone like yourself, if you're shooting a gig that, you know, might go for 5 or 6 hours, that's where you're going to appreciate having the better distribution. And instead of either having it dangling for your neck, which nobody likes, even with a medium or short lens, it's still like that 5D Mark II carries significant weight, so I don't think that'll feel great hanging for your neck for a couple hours, and I think that's where you'll really find it's worthwhile.
There's that, and also the ability to quickly put the my Zacuto Z Finder eyepiece on, because with the other strap, what I like to do is since I'm so low rent, I use a couple of rubber bands to hold the Zacuto on. Okay. Like there's a mounting plate. I use the mounting plate, of course, and all that stuff. But just for an added extra security, I use rubber bands that snap it on. And that's impossible to do when you without taking the old strap off. Now, boom, it goes on in seconds. So that's handy as well.
Okay.
So there you go. Did you shoot anything? Oh, did I say thank you? I said thank you for the strap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So all of you listeners should know that I am very thankful, and it was very thoughtful. Yeah.
And that's how I roll.
And then we played poker that night, and I think we both won.
Mm-hmm.
True story. So there you go. Couple of winners over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our friends lost, but should have brought their cameras for free tips. That's what I say.
That's right.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
The only thing I actually shot a couple of pictures all on green screen. So this was, I did not shoot any photos this week at all that were not done in front of a green screen.
Wait, did you shoot the plates? Wait, oh, sorry. Did we talk about that last week, that what the backgrounds are called?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure they're just called backgrounds, but in the pro world, they call them plates.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, at least they used to. It's been a while since I've been in the pro green screen world.
Okay, I did not call them that or know that they were called that.
But, background plates.
I decided this year to shoot my wife's birthday photo, like we got with the cake and all that, on green screen. So I did that. And I actually just dropped in kind of like a gradient blue background, which would have probably taken me a heck of a lot longer to do with via a gel. And I don't have blue background paper, so this... Basically, I just Googled portrait backgrounds and saw a whole bunch of just different gradients and textures and stuff, and just basically brought in a blue that had a little bit of a gradient, and it worked real well. So I made her a birthday card with that, just plugged in Photoshop a happy birthday and her and the kids in front of the cake and the candles. So that was that. And then I printed that out as part of her birthday card. And I did, I just posted it on Facebook. I started a hockey card for my son. So using the Wayne Gretzky rookie card template, probably one of the most famous hockey cards, if not the most famous hockey card in existence. So I used the real card and just basically in Photoshop pulled out the picture and logo and stuff. And you'd done stuff on our website using that same card. So if anyone wants to see, but yeah, I did that for my son and posted on Facebook with a split screen of himself and the actual Wayne Gretzky card. And that's it. So green screen, nothing but green screen.
Awesome. Did you know what I realized the other day, just on a Wayne Gretzky tangent, You know what? I never even occurred to me 15, 14 years ago when he retired.
What's that?
He retired in 99.
Yeah, I don't think that ever occurred to me. Are you? Mm-hmm. Is that 100% sure that he retired in 99?
Yeah. That was his last. That was his last game. It was in 1999.
Interesting.
I remember because I was partying like it was 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I did it. So I thought that, and also he when he retired, he was younger than we are now. Probably the same age as you.
I'm 37.
I think then next year, I think you'll be the same age.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't that weird though? That's weird to me.
Yeah. So.
There is that. Anyways.
So that's it. Only green screen. And the one note about that is I had very little practice at this last week when we did our photo challenge stuff and we did our episode on green screen. And getting good at it, and it really, once you learn the setup, because there isn't really a lot to it, it is very easy to do this quickly. So for anyone who's thinking about it, it's really not difficult.
Great.
So there you go.
So you took your own advice from the show and ran with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And we're going to talk a little bit about it in the photo challenge, of course, if we ever get there.
No, this is taking a while.
That's true. Okay, I'll whip through my interesting stuff. Didn't shoot. I shot very little. Been busy working, and so I shot. I did snap a photo of my kid at the airport waiting for me.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was exciting for me. That she made a sign, and then the next day was Oma's great grandma. It was her birthday, and so I have a picture of her. Just a quick snapshot of her Oma is how you say it in German.
Okay.
Great grandma's Oma. So I picture them together. So 92 years combined.
Nice.
Yeah. Most of it Oma.
Yeah.
Yeah. She brings it. She's like, you know, I think she's 60 something. But so yeah, other than that, not too much. So photo challenge. Let's get right into it then. Last week was green screen because of the whole episode. We kind of put the two and two together, and so we took the opportunity. It was funny, we took the opportunity to be together and snapped a photo that we could have just shot apart.
Yes.
Awesome. We didn't need to be in the same room, but there we were.
It got done a lot quicker as a result.
It did. And well, how it worked out is I shot yours and you shot mine. That's essentially how it went.
Yeah.
But the same setup, and how did we set this up? Do we have two lights or one light on the background?
We had one flash on the background to camera left.
And then one in my brand new softbox.
That's right. You wanted to try that out. So one in the softbox to camera right.
P.S. I love that softbox, but that's for another episode.
Yeah.
And
I knew you would.
We also use your Yong Nuo triggers.
Yep.
Which it occurred to me, I think you think I'm dragging my heels and saying that I'm anti Yong Nuo triggers or something like that. I love those things.
Mm-hmm.
So let me clear something up really quickly. I love them. I would buy them if I didn't already have triggers.
Right.
I have no need to upgrade yet, even though they are awesome. And I wish I had those versus the ones I have. But not enough to just ditch the ones I have.
Right.
So there you go. They are pretty awesome, being able to control everything from the camera, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. See, now what I think you should do is I think you should buy a set of two because you only have one dedicated Canon flash as it is anyways, right? Uh-huh.
True.
So that one you could do your, you know, off-camera high-speed sync with, and then you could actually still trigger all of the flashes. You can actually piggyback the triggers, so you could actually put the Yong Nuo trigger on top of the camera and then add to it one of your other triggers and still trigger all of your lights, but you could make use of the ETTL on the Canon flash at the same time.
That's a good point. I could add to my existing. That's a good point.
Yeah, and there's no downside to that.
The $50.
Well, the $50 and the fact that you'll have this massive sort of accumulation of triggers on top of your camera.
Yeah, it's a good way to snap your hot shoe.
Yeah.
But we'll look to that in the future. But for now, let's talk about green screen. Now, so we set this up, and the idea was I was going to shoot you, you were going to shoot me, but we knew we were going to put these pictures together,
right,
into one. And so ultimately, when we set this up, I knew we would both be facing opposite directions.
Right.
But we would also want a consistent light source. We didn't want to, you know, basically do both of us do short lighting because right. that wouldn't make much sense. Because one of the things I mean, it looks awesome when you watch movies, but when you watch people and they shoot scenes that are basically called over the shoulders, like let's say you and I are having a conversation at a coffee shop or something like that. And so the camera's on me, but we can see your back in the image. Right?
Right.
Over your shoulder. And then the camera cuts to when you're talking and it's over my shoulder. And that's how we tie the conversation together.
Yeah.
Except for in both shots, even though the camera's moved 180 degrees almost, both shots were both backlit by the sun.
Right.
Which looks awesome, but it doesn't ring true. It's not real life.
Yeah.
And so ultimately I wanted to make sure we were sort of lit by a consistent source. So we kept the same lighting. So I'm broad lit, you're short lit, essentially, and that's that. And so then
it's all about the fake authenticity.
It's faking it. Well, that is very important to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to include the photo I shot of you in there, so that people can see the raw shots that we shot.
Right.
You shot mine first, and then with that information, I went and shot yours. And that's it. And then how long did it take us to piece those together? How long did it take us to, first of all, strip the green and then put them in the same image?
Maybe 30 seconds.
If that. I was going to say 60 seconds, but I bet you it was closer to 30.
Yeah, it takes no time at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the biggest hassle, and I'm noticing this the more I do of this, is people's hair. So in this shot, we've got the toques on, the Canadian mm-hmm. warm hats for those Americans not familiar with the toque.
Beanies.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want to call them.
That's what they call them.
Okay. But bottom line is the hair is where you get sometimes a little bit of the green fringing around the edges that you sometimes have to spend a couple extra minutes to clean that up. But when you're wearing a hat like this, you don't have any of those problems.
Okay. See, I was going to ask. I when we threw the toques on, that had not occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it just more for the aesthetic, because we had imagined what the background would be. We thought we knew, but ahead of time we were gonna go pond hockey, or at least some sort of outdoor hockey.
Yeah.
So that was kind of part of the theme, was gonna throw these toques on. We did spend 6 to 8 hours cleaning up the green around your arm hair, though.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That took a while.
No, that's the great thing is this kind of image, and also we don't have a whole bunch of little spaces. You know, sometimes if you've got, like, if we're posed differently and there's little gaps between, you know, like the glove and your stick, I can actually, looking at the image, you can see a tiny little bit of green because we didn't spend any additional time. Mm-hmm. The software did all the heavy lifting here, and we didn't go in and try to clean it up at all. So this is basically simply a one-click extraction from our green screen. So we could have spent a little bit more time to make it perfect, but the bottom line is the more of these little windows that you have in between, little spaces between the green and your subject, the more difficulty the software has in detecting that tiny little bit
mm-hmm.
as foreground and background. So the more work you have in the post-processing.
I'm just noticing it in both of the little gaps between my sweater. Yeah. There's two of them
That's where. And again, that would take all of 30 seconds in each spot to clean it up.
Yeah.
But that's where the software has. So you can imagine with someone who has kind of frizzy hair,
mm-hmm.
That's where you start to have issues. So, you know, having someone straighten their hair before, like if you were really wanting to do a good job of this, you would want to have as little frizz as possible in a female's hair specifically.
Absolutely. And what I end up doing is when there is a little frizz, I don't cut out around it. I just eliminate that. I just pull that right out in Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree.
So you end up looking bald.
Yeah, sure.
That's how it goes. Too bad. Should have defrizzed. Now, so yeah. we shot this, put it together, and then we looked for a background. We didn't pick the background ahead of time, or sorry, the plate. We didn't pick the plate ahead of time, but we had an idea what it would look like. And so we went through Google Images, and this is the one we found.
Mm-hmm.
And now we popped that in there. We added a slight blur to it, which doesn't really make it look authentic, because the blur is consistent. Like the foreground right below us is as blurry as the trees are. And in reality, that's going to be gradual. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you can do that in Photoshop Pro. I don't have the high-end one, neither do you, so we didn't bother doing the gradient blur or whatever it's called. I don't think it's called a gradient blur. It's probably called bokeh. But had we shot this ourselves, we would have taken that into consideration so that when you go out and start shooting plates for you to use, like you're going to have some stock plates that you're going to want to use, I think.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to consider that. So, I mean, you're going to go out and probably shoot this same shot three times with different depths of field, mm-hmm. so that you can actually just plug it in and use whichever one you want. Now, when we went through Google Images, we actually picked out a few different images, and this is the one we went with. We had a couple other ones we chose, but what I did was I tracked down whoever posted those other ones, the other ones specifically. I tracked down whoever shot it and basically asked his permission because I didn't want to just steal someone's image.
Mm-hmm. And very honest of you.
Well, it just seems, I mean, we're not selling it. We're not using it for advertising, none of that. So it should be like, I would be okay with it if someone asked for in that respect. But so I tracked him down, sent him a message and did not hear back. So ultimately we didn't use it. I didn't want to use it without permission. This photo, I cannot find whose it is. So I did what I would consider to be due diligence, trying to find it and ask permission and also give credit, but it's just what do you call it when it's not untitled?
I don't know.
I'm just
hang you out here.
Today. Yeah, I'm gonna sit here and just check Wikipedia for stuff. But no, it's non-attributed, I guess. Sure.
So yeah, it's not claimed.
Yeah, so if it's yours, please tell me and please give us permission because we've already posted it. And if it's a problem, we'll pull it. I absolutely will pull it. We don't want to exploit you or just give you credit. Whatever it is you want. But you have to prove that you took it, though. You can't just phone in and say, yeah, it was me. I want credit. So.
Okay.
Anyways, I like the background. It would be better if it was a more gradual blur.
And so basically, just to go through the process here, so we took the photos, right? We took the green mm-hmm. screen photos. Then we, in Photoshop, used the magic extractor tool that I spoke of. And we're using Photoshop Elements. I think it's like sixth version. So that process took all of 30 seconds. And then, a couple of minutes, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes to find the background. And if we already had one, that obviously would have been closer. And then it was just a matter of sliding that in and sizing, right? And mm-hmm. then, like you said, you added a slight filter to the background just to blur. And so what do you think? 5 minutes all said?
Start
once
finish,
we had
yeah.
the photos, like once we actually had the photos, 5 minutes of post-processing to come up with this?
Absolutely. About that, yeah. Now, yeah, one thing I would do in retrospect is probably add a third flash behind back and to our left.
Okay.
Just to add like a separation flash. Cause you look at the area around my toque in particular, my beanie, it sort of blends in a little bit. And so it could do with a little bit of fake sunshine coming in.
Okay.
I
think you're being pretty hard on yourself. I looked at this and I thought, man, for the 5 minutes we spent on this, it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think at that point you start, faking the sunshine, and then I'm not sure if, like, to me, this absolutely looks pretty authentic, enough to fool 90% of people that would look at this photo.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And obviously those aren't the hardcore photographers, because I think they'd pick up on some of those subtleties, like you say, the fact that the background is a consistent blur instead of sort of a gradual blur. But I think most people looking at this photo would say, hey, where were you guys when you took that?
Right.
Fake and authenticity.
Also, the one thing they should pick up on is that we're both wearing the same pair of gloves.
Yes.
That's an issue. Different yeah. sticks, but now my hands still smell from your gloves.
Yeah.
And not like
and
cinnamon.
what am I doing wearing a t-shirt out on or a golf shirt out to play pond hockey? I must be freezing.
I thought of that after. I thought, wow, you are one tough SOB.
Because your outfit, I thought of it after when I saw the photo. I'm like, wow, you were wearing appropriate clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You could absolutely be playing pond hockey. I would not be wearing that.
I put the sweater on for the photo knowing we'd be outside. And then when I took your photo, I didn't bother directing you. I was just like, yeah, all right, just stand there.
Yeah, but I do have furry arms, so that can keep me warm.
Good work, Mr. Babich.
Yeah. Another reference that nobody will get.
Oh, Dave Babich will.
Yeah.
He's an avid fan. Him and his wife, Linda.
Yeah.
No idea what his wife's name is.
No, I don't either.
So there you go. That's our photo challenge. This week's topic, right into it. Getting prints made. We're talking about getting prints. Now, I think we've talked a little bit about it before, but I recently had some prints made.
Okay.
Like a lot of them. And that at first was a horrible experience. I've gotten stretched out now and I'm loose, and here goes the rant against London Drugs.
Okay, go for it.
London Drugs, I have gotten prints made with them for many, many moons. Many years, okay. I've gone and got my prints made because they were the best. I mean, in terms of the consumer end of it, because you have the pro labs that you need to, when you want to get pro stuff done, obviously, and they're very, very good. But for general consumer prints, London Drugs was the top number one place to go, hands down. Customer service was great, blah, blah, blah. So I go and I take my memory stick, my USB stick with all my images on them. And I'm very careful how I bring that stick. It's formatted for fat. It is got no folders on it. All I've done is taken all the JPEGs, put it right on that stick. The end. It should be very, very simple. No messing about.
Okay.
Plug it into their kiosk machine, and we have a problem. Now,
what's the problem?
Well, what ends up happening is when you take those JPEGs, not only does it have a JPEG, but it has a little preview file sort of, not attached, but in there as well. Like, because I use a Mac, it creates this little preview file. Okay? Now, I think PC mm-hmm. does it as well, but it just calls it something else. So essentially, I had exactly 237 photographs that I wanted to get printed.
Okay.
And so again, I put exactly 237 on the stick. So I didn't have to go through and pick each one. I would just hit select all, print them, go.
Yeah.
However, the machine starts to read the little preview files, the invisible preview files, as images. So I now have to go through, but it can't actually read them. It sees them there, but it can't read them. So it's just a complete mess. The whole thing freezes up. Essentially, I'm going to have to go through and select each of the 237 photos individually
mm-hmm.
and deselect the preview files. Well, I'm not going to sit there for six to 7 hours doing that. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
So I take my stick up to the front, which I've done many. This has happened many times before, and basically they plug it into their computer and just drag all those files over, hit print all. It takes all of 30 seconds. So I wait.
Gotcha.
So I go and wait in line, and some other lady ahead of me is bringing back a camera, a film camera that she bought, some sort of new film camera they're selling. Bring it back, wants to upgrade to the other one, didn't buy it at that store, still didn't matter, and then wanted free film out of the deal. That was a nice little touch. She asking for free film, and the lady was really, really kind of snarky to her, and who was working at London Drugs. And rightfully so. The lady kind of deserved it, but however, shouldn't do it. Anyways, I get up there and I explain my situation to her. And I said, listen, it's asking me to select each image individually. And she says, that's the only way you can do it.
Right.
I started to tell her, no, listen, typically, because she's new. I've never dealt with this lady before. She seems new there. I try to explain to her, if you plug it into her terminal, no. That's the only way you can do it. And I said, I don't think it is. I know somewhere else that'll do it. And I walked out and I made a big fuss and I flipped over a couple of DVD stands and stuff. Kathy Lee Gifford was selling something, some makeup. I flipped that over. And yeah. I thought, you know, what would a rock star do?
Right.
How would the lead singer of Blink-182 deal with this situation? Whatever his name is. I'm sure he's Canadian too.
Yeah.
And so I did that. So I trashed the place. But no, ultimately, I said, I will not go back there.
Right.
On this one thing, which is kind of weird because, you know, 8 years or 10, 12, 15 years of good service, all blown by one situation. But however, I was that mad.
You're fickle.
Well, would you have put up with it?
No, I would have been mad too, and then I probably would have gone back for convenience sake the next time.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I went to Black's.
Okay.
I went across the street to Black's, plugged my card into the exact same machine, pretty much. It read my files without problem and printed them easily. Boom, done.
Done.
That was it. No messing around. Cheaper, or same price or cheaper, whatever. That wasn't the issue for me. It wasn't the price. It was just the customer service was great. So that's where I went. And the funny thing is, we'll have to tell our friend Don Komarechka, because he used to work for Black's.
Okay.
So there you go. So first off, that's what made me think of, let's talk about how to get prints made. Because do you get prints made pretty often?
I usually get prints made.
Well, no.
The end. No, I usually get them made at London Drugs.
You used to?
Yeah, you used to. I also agree with the fact that I haven't been super thrilled with customer service on their end, but the quality of the prints are usually well done. So, and I say usually because I've had some that I've been a little bit disappointed with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's very convenient. The system that I have for getting the prints, and it's right on my way home when I'm on my way back from work, and they're open extended hours compared to most places that print photos that are on my route home from work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that they've done good prints, and so I've been willing to put up with the lackluster customer service. But I agree with you that there's probably another place that does just as well and has better customer service.
So. Good. So your London Drugs ends now.
Okay.
I need some solidarity on this. Either we bury them or they smarten up and get back to how they used to go, how they used to do it. Because they used to have their customer service was unbelievable. And I would always go there, even when things were a little bit more expensive. I had no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age of the internet and Amazon, which by the way we didn't mention at the top of the show, click through our site. In the days of online shopping and all the online service, you have to compete somewhere. You can't phone it in on the customer service.
Right.
Now, I like brick and mortar. I prefer to shop at a store. But when you drop the ball this badly, I'm not going to do it. So we're freezing them out.
Okay. I do think that perhaps that's a bit of an extreme measure to take, considering it was just one employee at London Drugs, as opposed to, it's not like you spoke to someone else and they were jerks too. Like, I think you are painting them with a pretty broad brush.
Listen, this comes on the heels of my dad having an extended bad experience with them as well, and you and your wife also having bad service. So mine was the fourth in line.
Okay, all right. As long as that's going to be your pitch, because I think if it's just based on your story, which was really just dealing with one particular person, that it shouldn't be that extreme.
In a vacuum, I'm a jerk.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
However, in reality, still a jerk, but justifiably so.
Yeah, there's a pattern. There's for sure a pattern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not a one-off. Anyway, so you're going to get prints made. Now, first of all, I recommend that you do get prints made often, because prints are fun. I enjoy them.
Yeah. But I like hard copy.
But most people, and I'm included in this, a lot of the times, just use it on the computer, Facebook, on their iPod or whatever it is, our iPhone, and that's how you share. And that's good. Like, that's a great way. I love that it adds to the ways that you can share your photos with people. However, it shouldn't substitute. I don't like that it substitutes. Mm-hmm. So if you snap, 1,000 photos a month, don't get them all printed. That would be silly.
Right.
But try to commit to, getting a dozen photos printed every month. Put an album together, whatever it is. It's a great way to share. I love seeing when people hand me prints, even if they're bad photos, I still like looking at prints that they've had taken the time to make. Okay. How do we do that? Do you print at home?
Occasionally. I don't do a lot of this, but for example, I was making my wife a birthday card, and I had taken the green screen photo of her and the kids, and I really wanted to make this card for her. And it was one of those things that, was I just going to go through and order, you know, 1 4x6 for this particular purpose and go to London Drugs and pick it up or Blacks or wherever? And I said, no, I have a good printer at home, and I'm not making 30 because I don't want to print 30 of these on my home computer or on my home printing setup. But It's meant for printing photos. So I'm going to do one. And I did. And I was really happy with how it turned out. So, yes, I did.
I occasionally print at home. The results are fine. They're not as good as the ones you get printed in the store.
No.
Because guess what? Your printer cost you $180 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably $80 now.
Yeah.
And their printer probably cost, I don't know, at least $200. I don't know. Probably a lot more than that. Probably in the thousands.
Yes.
You know, and so you have that to deal with. So when you find, I find that you buy the home printer, you either want to buy the super cheap one or the really expensive one. The sort of middle of the road, $150, $200 is a lot of money for not great results. They are fully acceptable. But however, here's the part that I don't like about printing at home is, one, you have to keep buying ink.
Yeah.
Okay. Not just that, not just the buying ink, but you know, the whole scam that goes on when they sell you, oh, well, great. You know, you have six different containers for each color, and heck, you know, there's a white one in there too, which PS there isn't. But you know, you have six different containers, so you don't have to replace, the whole thing every time it runs out. You can buy just the one. Well, that's great until you go to print a black and white document and it tells you, yeah, you have no magenta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I don't care about magenta. How about just the black, which I have plenty of? I'll print that. Nope, not going to happen. So I can't stand that. I can't stand with the leaking that happens. Like, because ultimately, you know, if you print enough, you'll get, you know, in printer ink splashes around, and it gets on the rollers, and that means it gets on your images, and over time, it's a real pain. So consequently, I pretty much almost never print at home.
Okay.
Because it's very easy to go to the drugstore and get as good a copy for 20 cents and let them deal with the mess. Okay. How do you prep your photos to get printed? Do you dial them right in or just right out of the camera?
Sorry, I'm confused about the question.
So you snap your photos.
Yeah.
You're going to take them in to get printed. Do you just take them right out of the camera, or do you work on them?
I work on them.
Okay, and how do you get them prepped for printing? What I'm trying to say is your screen calibrated?
Oh no, God no.
Okay, at least somewhat though. You have tried to calibrate it
to a degree. Yes.
To a degree. So this is important because you want to be able to see, you know, what you see is what you get on the print.
Yes, and I really should, and then I look at the calibration software, and it's pretty expensive, anything decent, so then I just say, hey, I'm going to leave it up to the photo experts at London Drugs to get it right.
Right. That's a completely reasonable way to go about it. However, you do try to get them close, though.
Yes, I do, and I will at some point make the investment and get one of those calibration programs, because I would like, it's one of those things that I don't see what you see on the same photo. As often you say, oh, your color looks this way or that on your monitor, and I don't see that, but obviously we're not looking at exactly the same image.
And I do have the, I don't know what I have, the Spider Monkey Color Vision something, I forget what I have, and I every few months I do calibrate both my monitors.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to do the same with yours, they'd get pretty close, but they wouldn't be identical. That's just impossible to do. But they'd get pretty close. And so I guess you got a birthday coming up, so I better start collecting some pop bottles and do that. So I do calibrate my screen, even if you just go in and kind of we talked about that with Dawn on the book episode about screen calibration. So listen back for more of that. But I also rely on the histogram in general, because the histogram, you know, not all histograms are created equally, but it will give you a good indication of what you have in terms of, are you blowing pixels out? Because it might look, you might see everything on your screen, but the whites might be nice and have detail in them. And same with the blacks, you might see some black detail, but when it comes time to print, they might not actually make it onto the page.
Right.
So it's nice to have your histogram dialed in. Now, that doesn't mean it's still going to work out in the end, because there are something called printer profiles. Like, you can embed a printer profile in your image so that the end printer will read that profile and make the images look like you see them. But that doesn't always work the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a pain. In fact, you can, what a lot of places will do is you can download their printer profile and use that when you edit your pictures, so that when you send it to your one specific place, you're already editing it with them in mind.
Mm-hmm. I tried that. I actually got the printer profile for London Drugs,
yep,
and did not find that it made any difference whatsoever.
I concur. Now, again, we're dealing with a consumer printer place,
yeah,
not a professional place. Like, if you went to somewhere, you know, high end, I'm assuming that's going to be a much better experience. I would hope, because you're going to pay a lot more per image.
Mm-hmm.
But for a consumer thing, and for most of us, and for most of the stuff that I do, I don't need a pro printer. I just need something, you know, consumerish. So I don't mess around too much. Now, on the other hand, like sushi, you can pay too little. When you're going for 8 cents a print, don't get your expectations up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be pretty lousy. So you kind of want to come in there somewhere in the middle. How do you get your images to the printer?
I usually do it via uploading to the website,
uh-huh,
of the printing place.
A lesson I learned the hard way this time, evidently.
Yeah, when you were explaining that story to me before we just spoke about it on air, that was my first question, was, don't you just upload your photos and select them and order them and then just walk in and pick them up? That's kind of always been my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've never once used one of those computer or those touchscreen kiosks, because I just see it as being a colossal pain in the butt.
Well, now I do.
Yeah.
Now I would absolutely only do that. And that's what I would end up doing from now on. And I've done that in the past, like with some places here in Germany, I've done that. But, you know, never occurred to me. Plus, I had, you know, 237 photos, each of them pretty large, because
right,
I get pretty large JPEGs printed. And so that would take a while.
But you don't have to sit at your computer and watch them upload.
I like to, though.
Okay.
I like
all
to
right,
go, yeah, one, done, two, done, and so on. If you do bring your memory stick in, now, because these machines take all kinds of media now. SD cards, CF cards, it pretty much reads anything.
Right.
The one thing you should not do if you bring in your memory stick, first of all, is remember, it's memory stick, not memory lane. Don't sit in there and go through all your photos and laugh about each one with your friend while you're deciding whether to print it or not while I'm waiting behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there, pick your photos, and move on down the line. That's my suggestion.
Okay.
Okay, now here's the big question when you get in there. Autocorrect or not?
You're asking if you want to let the printing place kind of make corrections to your already edited image?
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, initially I did it and said, no, I've spent all this time correcting it. I want you to leave your corrections out.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're not always seeing what you're seeing. So I found more often than not the image was either too dark or too bright or something. It just didn't look right. So I ended up going the other way and just always auto-correcting and leaving it in their hopefully capable hands.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of percentages are you getting successful?
I'd say probably about 90%.
Yeah, that's about what I ended up with. Of the 237 I had printed at that other place at Black's, there was three or four in there that I thought, okay, they fumbled that one. But out of 237, I had no complaints. That was
okay.
That was a good percentage, you know, or was that 2%, you know, and less than that were messed, mm-hmm, up. And so I thought that was fully acceptable. And I don't even know if I used autocorrect or not at that point. I was just steaming mad, and so just plugged it in and hit print, and it worked out. But generally, I was of the same mind as you, where I thought, you know what, I've done all this work. I know how it should look, but their printer is not hooked up to my computer.
Right.
And so ultimately, I have to sort of allow for them. So what I would end up doing is sort of correct my photos with an eye towards them correcting them again. So I might dial the contrast down a little bit, you know, leave a little headroom on the black detail and the white detail, and sort of compress that contrast so that when they get them and make the adjustment, it'll be right with, they'll have enough to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, how I end up doing it. And I don't like doing that so much, but that's kind of the way it is. What size do you get printed mostly?
Most often 4x6s.
4x6s. Yeah. Glossy or matte?
I kind of go through stages. Right now, I'm definitely more often going matte, but mm-hmm. I go through glossy stages as well. So that's just kind of how the mood strikes me.
Okay. When I was getting my film printed for a long time, I really liked the matte finish.
Yeah.
Just loved it. For whatever reason, like the colors, the way it all came out. But since I went digital, I always get glossy.
Yeah. I think for me, glossy is great in an album or in a picture that I'm going to stick up on the fridge. But if I'm going to put it behind glass in a frame, I generally steer away from glossy. Too much reflection.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that a try on the next one.
Yeah. So that's just, again, I go through stages, like I say, both ways. And if I'm putting it in a little photo album just behind the plastic, for whatever reason, I do find I like the glossy better. But if I'm going to put it up on the wall of my house where there's going to be a lot of potentially light, like in my living room, hitting it, I do find that, you know, between the glass and then the glossy finish on the print as well, often just extra reflection off of it.
All right. Good tip.
Mm-hmm.
And last, when you get your 4x6s done, or 10x15s, if you're in Europe, we do metric system over here.
Okay.
Do you go for the border or not?
Generally not,
mm-hmm.
but I do like the border in certain situations. Like if I was doing formal pictures, for example, of somebody's wedding, that would be a good example. I would go for the border. I don't know. There's a certain elegance to that.
Mm-hmm.
But for family snapshots, no, I typically go borderless.
See, I'm a big fan of the border.
Okay.
To the extent that the places I get printed, did you just drop your microphone?
No, I just hiccuped a little bit. I tried to hold it in. It was one of those, it was going to be out or in, and I just tried to stifle it, but you heard a little
here,
bit.
Here we are. Thought maybe, yeah. Anyways, the place I get printed here don't do the border for whatever reason.
Okay.
And I like the border. There's one place will do it, but it's an extra euro per photo, which adds up pretty fast. If you're
that's quite a bit.
Yeah, that's excessive. Since the prints cost, you know, 30 cents, or whatever it costs, 50. I don't know what they cost you. I forget.
But did you explain to them you're using less ink?
You don't explain anything to those folks.
Okay.
They explain stuff to you.
Okay.
And so I'd say, okay, well, I'm not doing that then. I'm not going to pay that much. And the price structure here is a bit off unless you go to certain places, but that's a different, whole different conversation that we will not ever have. So I ultimately like getting them printed when I'm in Canada because I like getting the border done, because ultimately I really, really like making photo albums with the black pages with the photos glued on them.
Oh yeah. Then the white border definitely will work well.
Now, when I say I like making those, I like having my wife make those and then I look at them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say. No, we make them together. I really like those albums in particular. You know, because they kind of remind you of the old times and whatnot. And I like those albums a great deal. So I always get the border done for that. But if you're going to frame them, even if you're framing a 4x6, don't get the border.
Right.
That's just going to add a little hassle to your framing. That's it in terms of print. You can talk about sloppy borders if you go to a pro place. I don't think they offer those at your consumer places.
Right.
You know those they call them sloppy borders, which are essentially the when you print with like the 35 mil, it creates that cool funky border around like your wedding photos have.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's something else to consider. I quite like that, but I think it's been overdone, and so people probably shy away from them now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I think that's all you need to know about printing.
Mm-hmm. And just I think everyone should just recognize that, you know, all prints are not created equal. And I think this was somewhere mentioned, you know, in, as I don't know, 70, 80 episodes ago when we did at some point discuss printing, that if you take the same file and have it printed at 8 different places, you're probably going to get 8 different results.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that. I mean, most of the time, I think you're going to be satisfied with the fact that, okay, you know, it's close enough, it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're printing something large to be put on a wall or potentially given as a gift, it might not be exactly what you want, and you might have to be willing to go back and say, no, this, can you try again? And I think most half-decent, reputable establishments will probably reprint it for you.
Most likely. It comes down to price, and what we've talked about many times before is calibrating your expectations.
That's right.
If you go and spend $3 for all-you-can-eat sushi, you're going to get food poisoning.
Right.
Know that going in.
Yeah.
Okay. So same thing with your prints. As long as you know what you're getting into ahead of time, no surprises. Next week's challenge, Adam. I got one.
Great.
Headshot. Do a headshot.
Haven't we done this?
Yeah, I'm sure we've done a lot of stuff, but
I see. I got a different one.
Oh.
I don't like that. I think that's kind of a lame challenge. So I'm gonna
okay.
I have a better one.
This, and I'm gonna tell you, this had better be good.
I want you to shoot a movie poster.
But I have a headshot gig coming up in a couple days.
I'm saying movie poster.
Movie poster. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
We did magazine cover like once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that this will sort of get the creative juices flowing. I mean, you could take a picture you've already shot and turn it into a movie poster. You don't have to shoot the photo brand new, but you have to come up with the movie poster.
If you don't shoot the photo brand new, I'm going to tear you a new one.
No, I plan to, but yeah. I'm just saying if you're really busy and you can't, I just want you to come up with a movie poster.
Okay, we'll do a movie poster, but no green screen.
I can't use the green screen.
No, of course. I know that's all you're going to do is green screen. It's going to be the movie's going to be called Green Screen. That's your fake movie it's a fake movie, right?
The whole thing, no, like a real, like I was thinking of like, you know, faking a movie that, like a famous movie poster.
Oh, you want to actually go and fake a real one. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to
no,
be.
No, if you no, want no, to no, no. It's up movie. To you. I think we should pick a horse. It should either be fake movie or actual movie. Redo the poster.
Redo the movie poster.
All right. But, yeah. But don't redo it completely. Reimagine it.
Oh no! Now you're getting way. That's going off the deep end.
You want to just completely steal their idea and run with it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have one in mind, don't you?
No, not at all.
You're doing the Flash. Is there a Flash movie?
No, that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I don't even have any idea what I'm doing. I just thought it would be an interesting idea.
Okay, all right.
Something else I can green screen because I'm on green screen mode.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to green screen it. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I live in old Europe and shoot something like that. I already have an idea in mind.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that. So.
I'm just going to do a headshot. So.
On a green screen.
Yeah.
You're the greatest. Amazon. If you buy stuff on Amazon, click through our site and we win.
Yeah.
In fact, you win too.
If anybody has some monitor calibration software that they're done with, I will happily send you my address so you can mail it to me.
It's not just the software. There's a hardware component to it.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Oh.
Did you not,
well, you
did
can
you
mail,
not know
mail
that?
That to me too. Sure. No, I knew there with some of the packaging, I could see that there's things. I guess they're kind of like light color sensors. Is that,
uh-huh.
is that
what? You hang yeah. it on your screen and basically right. it... You hit go on the software, and it basically starts emitting all kinds of, like, flashing through all the colors, and it reads them all and then basically calibrates it according to what it reads.
Okay, well, if anyone's bothering to ship the software, I'd appreciate the hardware as well.
Yes. Don't halfway it, is what Adam's saying. Yeah. Halfway charity is just no charity at all.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I think Mark Twain said that.
Yeah, I think that's going to go on my Christmas wish list.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Where can people find your photos, Adam?
Sometimes on Schwartzchronicles.com and the rest of the time on the Two Hosers Facebook page.
That's where you can find it. And then this week's Wayne Gretzky photo, our hockey card.
Yeah, to be continued. I have to still do the back.
I think it's a thing now, man. I think you've got a niche where you're going to take over doing the green screen for your kids' hockey team.
Sure, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I will.
Yeah. And we did get some feedback, by the way, I meant to mention, but we ran out of time, about keeping everybody their proper heights when you do a green screen photo, a team photo.
Okay.
But sorry, we ran out of time. I acknowledge that it exists, though. Fine, check out my stuff at alanatrich.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about the 2.5 hours we spent just talking. And that's it. Adam. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.